young and lovely. The gal from Ipanema goes walking, and when she passes, he smiles, but she doesn't see.
Well, welcome back to the Ecological Podcast. This is Teo and Jan.
Hello.
So, what are we talking about today, Jan?
Yeah, so today we will be going over the topic of what we are doing for climate change, and more specifically, why what we're doing is, at the moment, not enough.
Yeah, so, main point, why aren't we doing enough? Or wait, sorry. Well, yeah, why aren't we? It seems perfectly fine outside, Jan.
Yeah, well, why aren't we? I can go into detail of the statistics.
Well, I can look at statistics all day. I mean, yeah, the incremental rising of our greenhouse gas isn't really stopping anytime soon. And goal is, it's practically impossible to stop it for now. But
yeah, of course.
The aim is to reduce it, of course, right?
Obviously, we can't really stop it, but at least we want to limit or at least have minimize the negative effects it will have.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
I mean, this is also seen that currently we are trying to make sure that global temperature rise will not go more, or it will stay within a 1.5 to 2 degree Celsius range. Even mm-hmm. though a lot of people think that more than 1.5 would already be pretty critical.
Mm-hmm.
And right now we're on a track to rise by an average of 6 degrees. So that already is one example of...
Well, to give a picture of how our world is doing on that front, there's actually a graph designed by the German Environmental and Development Organization that actually has a pretty good climate change performance index, they call it, that visualizes how the countries are performing in reducing climate change. And so this index actually shows is indicating the greenhouse gas emission per country, renewable energy, energy use, and climate policy, to take all those accounts with 40% way on greenhouse emission. And so numerically value those. And so that total value, the higher it is, that means that you're working towards a 2 Celsius
increase.
Adaptability, they say, that, we're going to mitigate climate change to only affect, or it's only a rise in 2 degrees worldwide, and that's going to where it's going to peak, and that's the goal.
I wouldn't say only 2 degrees.
Well, that's the aim. That if everyone gets a green score, like 80, 90 plus, that's going to remain how it is. But right now, I mean, even the top country, Sweden, only gets a score of 75. And we currently don't even have a first, second, and third place because we just don't have any scores above 80.
I was going to ask how the results are looking, and it's not very surprising.
Well, I mean, we can look at some of the bigger countries. It's not perfectly fair. I mean, US is much bigger than France, for instance. But they also look at proportion wise as well. So I guess it is fair to some extent, but take it with a grain of salt. It's an approximation here. So in this scale, France is number 18th with a score of 57, and Italy, 53, 26, and Japan, number 51 with 39, surprisingly. You'd think Japan would have done better. And surprisingly, well, maybe not. The very last country with a score of 18 is the US.
That's obviously not unsurprising, as also with the Paris Accords, which the main country, the main emitters signed, US was the one to back out. And also right now, to stay on the track of the 1.5 degree goal, the global greenhouse gas emissions have to fall at least by 7.6% every year, which is actually five times the current rates that were outlined in the Paris Accords.
We're doing pretty miserably to keep any goals.
In a way, yeah, but also 2020 is a sort of critical year for climate change, because countries will actually be renegotiating their commitments at the UN Climate Change Conference in Glasgow, which has now been postponed due to the pandemic. So we'll see how that goes, but hopefully well. As also at the moment, there's something known as the G20 countries, which are sort of the main emitting 20. And they account for 78% of global greenhouse gas emissions. But only five of these 20 member countries have set a date to reach net zero emissions.
Mm-hmm. Do you know if these countries are just first world countries, or is it like...
I believe so, but mainly they are.
What's the criteria here?
I think it's just the main ones, and it's per capita. I'm pretty sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, I think they assess it with the same thing as the performance index here that I just mentioned. So, yeah, generally. Okay. Do you have any idea what they're going to discuss in this meeting?
I think it's mainly about setting new goals, which I'm not sure if... because that has already proven to not be the best way of dealing with this.
I mean, setting goals is easy, but really...
Following through with them is quite the opposite.
Yeah.
But also, one of the reasons that this has actually gotten quite out of hand, and the reason that people aren't really following through, or really taking action, is because people think that there's nothing we can do anymore, that it's too late already, which leads to a lack of action. And right now there's an urgency and we need to act. So it's quite a bad way to look at it, because even though it might be true, we might as well try to limit it and, in a way, fight for limiting the negative effects it will have.
Right. I mean, this defeatist view, I guess you can say, isn't really healthy.
It's pretty much the same as if you were denying it.
Maybe. Well, I guess. The influence might be similar, but, you know, these people know the consequences. They just gave up on changing anything. So, yeah, I think it's this, it'll go back to our first episode of how people just don't feel their significance in contributing, because, you know, these primary emitters of greenhouses, just big companies. Yes. What is you as an individual do anything, or
Yeah, and I mean, individual people also don't really want to listen to it because they would have to change their lifestyle in a way which not a lot of people are open to.
Yeah, I mean, these big news around the world, like, it's just going to get you depressed in your daily life. You're trying to just work your work, I guess. Yeah, I get people like that. It's understandable. But you have to keep in mind that, like, even the smallest contribution, they add up, like or not. Yes, they can make a difference. Like, same notion as voting. Like, with more people who think that their vote matter, like, a more democratic way, well, is a president elected, for instance, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I've seen that before. You know, why should I become more healthy? And in a way, by healthy, I mean to reduce your emissions. Why should you do that if the people around you aren't?
Okay.
You know, that's all. Wow. That's also a view.
Yeah.
But yeah, also some of the also the important behavioral changes that people are doing, it's still not sort of enough because people are beginning to recycle more often, driving fuel-efficient cars, which is just an example of important behavioral change. Even though it will help, it's still not enough. And that's because it's a global complex problem that requires pretty much a globally coordinated response, such as at the meeting that international policies will agree between each other to push sort of to a cleaner form of energy, because also to sort of negate this in a way. I've also done some research on this, and I found one interesting view, and that was that responding to climate change involves a two-tier approach, with the beginning being mitigation, reducing the flow of greenhouse gases into the atmosphere, which is quite a difficulty, but even if we would manage it, there would be another stage, which they called adaptation, and that's that you learn to live with and adapt to the climate change that has already been set in motion. Which is also, I believe, that if we were... because at the moment, even if we had suddenly, magically, we had zero emissions, we would still have effects of climate change for a pretty long time. You know, we're talking decades, maybe even centuries. So adapting to those, how would I say that, results? Or?
Well, yeah, you're right on that. If suddenly, magically, our emissions goes to zero, the incline or like the incremental temperature increasing won't change for a little while. Because like carbon dioxide actually isn't the primary greenhouse gas, and actually it's water vapor that has the most of work towards forcing the ice to making the greenhouse effects, in short, and this perpetual cycle of the carbon dioxide working as a catalyst to increase temperature, therefore increasing water vapor in the atmosphere, and therefore increasing the temperature more. Like, carbon dioxide is a kind of a catalyst to this cycle, and magically stop that perpetual cycle, this positive feedback it has on the temperature wise. So,
moving on more to a positive side. If I can really say that, is that One of the important solutions would be local efforts. So that would be, for example, cities mm-hmm. and regions becoming more environmentally friendly. And we've already seen quite a lot of progress mm-hmm. in that, more so than the international policies yeah. and agreements. And that would be things such as public transport upgrades, mm-hmm. energy efficiency improvements, and planning such as that. And I think that has been going pretty okay in certain places. For example, also all trams in the Netherlands go right on renewable energy. Yeah, that's just one of the examples.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, I mean, there's a limit to how much an individual can do, like, to directly help out climate change. But really, we can even look at it more broadly and say, I'm going to decrease my power usage a little. And that could actually help in attaining a more a level of electrical, leeway to like fully pairing with renewable energy, for instance, or like outright reduce the amount of energy required by burning us, you know, garbage or coal, oil, like anything really broadly yeah. can actually indirectly help.
And also once you do it, you might inspire the people around you to do the same.
Oh yeah, that goes into your communities thing that you just said earlier, that, you know, people around you doesn't do it. Well, if you do it, maybe people around you will start doing it. Like,
exactly, because
influencing others to do that goes a long way as well.
Pretty much, you know, you might say, why should I do this if nobody else is doing it? But then if you start, then others might be inspired by you and do the same. So take the initiative.
Yeah, like hypothetically, if you can influence, if you influence two people, and those two people influence another two people, I think mathematically, you can like get the whole world to do it in 22 days or something like that. Yeah, some mathematical thing I've read. But, you know, if we can try to do that as much as we can, I mean, imagine.
Yeah.
I mean, it's also like in the person's best interest to like be more efficient in their energy usage as well, like financially. Like I know that a good portion of heat could, you know, leak out from your house and whatnot. So investing in like better isolation, you know.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be directly donating to the cause. It could be mutually beneficial.
I was going to say that there's also not really a negative aspect to lots of renewable energy that is also becoming way cheaper nowadays. So really there's not that much of a reason to not change.
Yeah, invest in some solar panels if you can.
Yep. So yeah, we've sort of looked at the local and regional side as well as the main countries, politics, as well as your individual self, what you can do. But I'm going to go back to the countries and the agreements they're making with each other, because a lot of people blame it on them, and you know, they have to be the ones to make the change. But it's also not that simple, obviously it would require a lot of changes across most of the world, which is not cheap. And I saw a prediction that it would cost up to $3.6 trillion per year globally.
Wow.
And since economy is one of the most important things for people, I'm not sure they would be willing to fall through with this.
Yeah, I mean, it's from an audience point of view, like looking towards the government, really don't know why they aren't doing these, but really, like, it's really complicated, like getting supporters and green trying to solve for climate change isn't really a popular thing to do in a constant power struggle in the government.
Especially in some places.
Like that money, the money you promise to donate to climate change, that's money some other person could use against you in politics. And it's really difficult to get those funds flowing this way.
And that can also be seen through the fact that some countries are not even that open, or they might actually still be quite against supporting the negation, if I can say that, or to help prevent climate change. For example, I know that a lot of people, and also the Dutch government, they acknowledge the problem and they're trying to deal with it. But for example, where I come from, the Czech Republic, there the government does not really, they're not willing to act against it because it wouldn't benefit them directly, you know. It would just cost a lot of money for them, and they don't have the ability to notice that the cost would likely outweigh the consequences of their inaction.
Yeah, which is kind of strange considering the potential damage it could cause to one's country. But well, I mean, to wrap it up, like, you can to try and solve this, like, you can try to invest into yourself, to become more efficient in your usage of energy, or you can directly invest in like organizations. There's plenty of climate change orgs that try to place solar panels and such. Or even better, which might be the most effective, is to raise voice that you care about climate change, and that's something you're willing to sway your vote for. Because once that becomes more and more clear and more important in politics, politicians will change their dialogue on the topic more easily.
Yeah, I think the most important is taking the initiative and also staying informed and informing.
Mm-hmm.
That's also, I was going to say, one of the main reasons that in the Czech Republic, nobody really supports it, because I don't think they're that informed. For example, people think that electrical cars are actually more harmful than coal cars, which is a bit bizarre.
Misinformation is pretty severe, I say. But for the sake of ending it up here, Jan, people, just show that you care and reflect that with your actions, and maybe you'll persuade others as well. Let's end it on that note, and bye-bye.
Adios.